work is basically out as a preprint. The people that I have worked with, Yong Baek Kim from University of Toronto, and Sang Sik Lee, who is in the audience, and also Dang Hai Lee at UC Berkeley. So this is the outline of the talk. So let me start since it's quite late. So let's focus on crystalline electronic phases in crystalline solids. The Hamiltonian, the basic Hamiltonian we are concerned with can be written up like this, where the single particle part consists of hopping, spin orbit, etc., and the interaction part contains electron-electron interaction, electron-phonon interaction, and so forth. So here we shall consider a rigid lattice, which means we will neglect photons, phonons. So first, let's think about the weak coupling, where U is less than U is much less than the hopping, and also think about a more concrete model like the Hubbard Hamiltonian. So the hopping part then dominates, and what we usually do, this is basic solid state, we go to the Fourier space, and we have the block Hamiltonian, and we draw up the band structure. When we have filled bands separated from the unfilled bands by a gap, energy gap, and that's when we have a band insulator. So recently it was found out that in presence of time reversal symmetry for spin half electrons, two kinds of such band insulators are possible. For spin half, the T squared, the time reversal operator squared is minus one, which implies a Kramer's degeneracy. At time reversal invariant points of the Brillouin zone, this implies that the states are at least doubly degenerate. So in a three-dimensional Brillouin zone, there are eight such time reversal invariant points under time reversal, k goes to minus k modulo some reciprocal lattice vector. So we also assume inversion symmetry, which is not essential but simplifies the calculations a lot, as shown by Fu and Kane. So one characteristic way to distinguish this band insulators is to look at the surface states. Basically look at something like the surface Brillouin zone like this. More specifically, consider a cut along the surface Brillouin zone from A to B. So there are two possibilities that can arise. In the first case, we can have these are surface states which lie between the bulk bands. The surface, and this blue line is the chemical potential. So the surface states cross the chemical potential even number of times. Then we can invoke impurities and other impurities to get rid of these metallic states at the surface quite easily. And in other words, these metallic states at the surface are not very robust. Is trivially true for spin rotation invariant systems. But there is another exciting possibility which goes as the name of topological band insulator, which is when the chemical potential crosses the surface states odd number of times. This typically happens when the spin rotation symmetry is broken by, say, spin orbit coupling. So in such cases, the surface states are robust to disorder, and essentially, though there is a gap in the bulk, we have gapless surface states. So that characterizes this topological band insulators. So as I said, that the signature is robust gapless surface states. So one can make these kind of pictures mathematically more rigorous by calculating what is known as the Z2 indices that characterizes the type of insulator in presence of inversion symmetry. One can calculate the parity eigenvalues, and one can calculate the so-called Z2 topological indices. And there is the index called the strong topological index, which when 1 indicates a strong topological band insulator, which when 0 indicates an ordinary insulator. So that was a quick review of topological band insulators. Let me just now move on to spin liquids. We heard a lot about spin liquids in from Patrick Lee's talk and in some detail in Roger Melko's talk. So here we will focus on the other limit, where interactions or the U scale is much, much bigger than the Hopping scale. Then we know that in Hubbert kind of Hamiltonians at half filling and when spin rotation symmetry is present, we get Heisenberg kind of models where this is the emergent energy scale. We want to know the ground states of these kind of spin Hamiltonians. So one thing can happen in certain lattice systems is that the ground state is ordered. It may be magnetically ordered, or it may undergo ordering of singlets. So these are valence bond solid states where the singlets form break the lattice translation symmetry. So the other possibility is, of course, this singlets don't form an order, and what we get what is known as a spin liquid. So just to remind what was spoken earlier in the morning, so this these spin liquids, which we call symmetric spin liquids for a reason I'll emphasize a bit later. So they don't have any broken symmetry. They have characteristics spin half, spin on excitations, gapped or gapless. They have an emergent K. They have an emergent gauge field excitations, which if the gauge group is continuous, then it leads to a gapless photon mode. So let me just briefly go over the mathematical formalism of fermionic mean field theory for Ewan spin liquid. So you write down the spin operator as a quadratic of the fermionic spin-ons, and you decouple them in the particle hole channel using these parameters and the particle channel. So both the hopping and the pairing channels, and there is this constraint which provides a, which accounts for that there is one spin per site, one electron per site. So for Ewan spin liquids, you put the particle or the pairing channel to zero, and this is a this is the gauge transformation under which the mean field Hamiltonian is invariant. So then the scheme of calculation works out like this. So you start with the spin model, then you write down the mean field Hamiltonian in terms of the spin-ons, the hopping of the spin-ons, and then you Fourier transform it, and you have a band structure for the spin-ons, and you solve itself consistently for the parameters chi. You can, I mean, beyond this mean field theory, you need to do projections and account for the gauge fluctuations, which I'll come to in a moment. Here it is. So beyond mean field theory, you either use a projection or you consider the effect of gauge fluctuations, as Patrick Lee mentioned in his talk in the morning. So Let me, so that was a brief introduction to spin liquid. So let me just move on to a spin-on topological insulator. So basically what we have is, so we saw at the weak coupling level, we have a block Hamiltonian for the electrons. So this is a block Hamiltonian, and if you have half-filled bands, you get a band metal. If you have filled bands, you get a band insulator, which could be ordinary band insulator or a topological band insulator. So the question then is, can you have the same for a U1 spin liquid? So so you have the spin-on band structure at the mean field level. You can have, if it's half-filled, you can have a Fermi surface state, spin-on Fermi surface state. Or you, if you have even number of spin-ons per in the unit cell, you can have a spin-on band insulator, which then can be ordinary gap T1 spin liquid, or it can be, or the spin-ons can have a topological band structure. So this is what I'll try to show, that it's possible for spin-ons to have a topological band structure through an explicit construction. So just to elaborate, so you have the spin-on band structure. So this state, the spin-on Fermi surface state is stable in two and three dimensions, but this gap T1 spin liquid is stable only in three dimensions. It's in two dimensions, it's unstable to confinement of the gauge field. So, so this spin-on topological insulator that we are going to show provides a finer classification for the spin liquids, and it may also be a state where there is coexistence of topological order stemming from the long-range entanglement coming from the spin liquid part, and symmetry protected topological order coming from the topological band structure of the spin-on. So now the question is how to get a spin-on topological insulator. So just remember that we are working with spin rotation invariant spin models. So there is no underlying spin orbit coupling for the electrons. So somehow spin orbit coupling has to emerge for the spin-ons. So an alternate way is to start from a band structure where the electrons know about the spin orbit coupling, which was addressed by Pessin and Balance. But we take the other route where the spin orbit coupling emerges for the spin ons. So let's now discuss the explicitly the slave particle construction and the emergent spin orbit coupling. So the idea is that in case of ferromagnetic exchanges for the spins, the stable decoupling channels for the spin-ons are in the triplet sector. So in the, so by that I mean so this is a ferromagnetic exchange. You decouple it in the triplet sector using the similarly the particle hole channel and the particle-particle channel. So E and D are basically the triplet analogs of chi and delta. So that's what gives, that's the essential point that was that goes into this calculation, and it was pointed out in this paper by Shindo and Momoi. So let's, in our answer, put the particle particle channel to zero. So so this is what we have. So then the gauge transformation for the spin-ons show that it's still a U1 spin liquid. However, because the E's pick up a direction in the spin space, we break the spin rotation symmetry. So furthermore, if in the mean if the E's are imaginary, then time reversal symmetry is preserved, and in that case, we have an emergent spin orbit coupling for the spin-ons. So for the consequences of the spin rotation symmetry breaking, because of the spin rotation symmetry breaking, we develop non-zero bond nematic order, which are given by, which are basically quadratic of E parameters, and this is a N-type pneumatic order parameter, and this is a P-type pneumatic order parameter as shown in the literature. So these are also non-zeros when E and chi are non-zero on the bond. So just to note that time reversal symmetry is not broken by such a development of such spin pneumatic order. Another point is that since the gauge photon is still present and the spinons are well defined, it's still a Yuon spin liquid state. So with that in mind, let's just move on to a microscopic model where this can be realized. So the model that we think about is this J1, J2 model on a pyrochlore lattice. Here the J1 is the nearest neighbor interactions, and J2 is the next nearest neighbor interactions. The J1 is antiferromagnetic, and J2 is ferromagnetic. So what is known about this model? It's known that in the classical limit, when I put J2 is equal to 0, it's frustrated. And when we put small J2, there is incommensurate magnetic order. So we'll consider the regime where J2 is much, much weak, which is about 5 to 10% of J1. So now we ask a question: if such a model in the spin for the spin half can stabilize a spin liquid state, particularly this spin on topological insulator state. So what we do is the following. We decouple the antiferromagnetic part using chi, and we decouple the ferromagnetic part using E. So this is basically the mean field spin-on Hamiltonian that we get. So here the decoupling is in the, for the nearest neighbor, and here for the next nearest neighbor. So we choose the answers where chi ij is uniform for the nearest neighbor, and for eij we choose the directions to be non-collinear. So this is needed because to have 3D topological insulators, we need to completely break the spin rotation symmetry. And then we solve this mean field Hamiltonian self-consistently for E's and chi's, and get the spin-on band structure. So we did it for two different answers. The first answer break some point group symmetries of the lattice, which is restored in the second answer. But this is basically the spin-on band structure in particular in high symmetry directions. So these two lower bands are filled because we have one spin-on per site, and for the pyrochlore lattice, there are four sublattices in the unit cell. So here is the band gap. So the band gap is small because J2 is essentially, so it's proportional to J2 by J1. But we develop a band gap. Now, if I calculate the topological indices for this spin-on band structure, we indeed find that it's a strong topological insulator. So this 1, 0, 0, 0, one being the strong topological index. And indeed, the spin-on band structure is topologically non-trivial. So if you compare the mean field energies, sorry for not putting in the numbers. So it's about minus 0.3 J1 for our state, which is comparable to the other proposed spin liquid states and the classical magnetic state at the mean field level. And so the state may be stabilized in this model and also by tuning next nearest neighbor interactions like J3. So just to indicate, so beyond mean field, we must incorporate the gauge fluctuations. So in three spatial dimensions, the compact T1 gauge theory allows deconfined state of the spinons. So this phase, in principle, is allowed, and this phase is stable to gauge fluctuations. So finally, the low energy part of the spectrum. So the low energy spectrum is actually quite rich. The bulk spectrum contains, of course, the gapped fermionic spinon. Because of the spin pneumatic order there and a non-collinear spin pneumatic order, there are three gapless Goldstone modes. There is, of course, a gapless U1 photon coming from the gauge U1 gauge fluctuations. Also, because the spinons have a topological band structure, there is a theta term in the action for the spin for the gauge field, and this means that the monopole excitation of this U1 gauge field acquires electric charge, and that is they become dyons. So all so on the surface, there are this helical spinon modes. So one must point out that the surface that we are talking about is one where this topological U1 spin liquid is placed next to a ordinary U1 spin liquid, which does not have a topological band structure. So then the surface has a gapless helical spinon mode. Also, the case of having the boundary with the vacuum is more subtle because there is a possibility of a confinement of the spinons at the surface, and there are issues like that which we haven't resolved. So that's basically the end of the talk. So I have laid out the basics of this non-trivial band topology of spinons in 2D in a specific microscopic model. So this showed that there is an emergent spin-orbit coupling that can arise from triplet decoupling of ferromagnetic exchanges. There are rich low-energy spectrum. And finally, which, something that I haven't commented on is there are interesting phase transitions out of these phases, which are, there are actually two ways to move out of these phases, two interesting ways to move out of these phases. One is to condense these dyons, and the other is to destroy the spin pneumatic by proliferating its defects. So either ways could result in unconventional phase transitions. So thank you.